Brian, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports, and we're live out here at Pete and Terry's, the Predators, hosting the Boston Bruins tonight. Willie D joins the party. What's going on, Willie?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good to be here at Pete and Terry's. Big test tonight. Number one team in town. Big time tonight.
And Elliot Friedman will join us in 1 hour. We'll talk the game tonight. We'll talk what the Predators should do at the trade deadline, because Elliot Friedman had some thoughts about what he thought the Predators should do, or what he thinks the Predators should do. And I want to get into the Jets quarterback carousel, because it does affect the Titans. But before we do that, I want to get your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Phone lines driven by WilsonGunnyHyundai.com. Mike is up next. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on? I had just a question. I want to get some thoughts from you guys, because I was talking to him about my dad. We're a big Titans fan. But I was explaining to him, I was like, you know, it seems like we see teams like San Francisco, who have had multiple different quarterbacks lead their, you know, in the past 10 years. It seems like they're always every other year in the NFC on track to make the Super Bowl. The Eagles did make the Super Bowl. They won it. Now they're back in the Super Bowl with a whole other team. And it's just like the Titans are on this four-year rebuilding. Like, we rebuild, 4 years later, oh, that didn't work, time to figure it out again. Instead of just building on what we have already, keeping the band together and just build, make a big free agent acquisition like some of these guys do, and push forward and win and get to the Super Bowl. But we just never do that. So I just want to get some thoughts on how come some organizations seem to have a philosophy of how to keep that momentum going, and then for us, we just can't seem to figure it out. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for your call, Mike. I think there's a few different factors at play. If you look at the Eagles' starting rotation, at least on offense, pretty sure all but one of their starters, Philly drafted. And that one starter, you gave them, and that was A.J. Brown. But the offensive line, I want to say Philadelphia drafted every single offensive lineman. They drafted their quarterback. They drafted Devontae Smith. They drafted Dallas Goedert. They draft really well. And they can draft well from the top to the bottom. So that's one thing. Mm-hmm. And then I think also coach comes into play as well. And not saying that Mike Vrabel isn't one of the best coaches in the league, because I absolutely do think that he is. But it's the coach and the drafted talent that they just continue to be able to plug players into certain positions, and it still works.
But let's not act like the Eagles have been this powerhouse all the way through from Super Bowl to Super Bowl, right?
No, there were some rough years in between there.
They won the Super Bowl, then they went 9-7 and lost in the first playoff game. Did make the playoffs, but barely. Then they went 4-11-1, and that got Doug Peterson fired. And then snuck in last year, right? They sort of unexpectedly at 9-8,
and then it all came together. Beat by the Bucks.
Yeah, and then all, you know, it really got sort of overmatched in that game, and then it all came together this year. So it's not like they're there every year. Like the Titans have been pretty consistent in there. Their their chance was last year when they were the first seed, and they just didn't make the run that they had in front of them. So there's not that much of a difference, right? When he says, "Well, why do all these other teams do this and the Titans get?" Well, that's really a little bit unfair, I think.
Well, I think
even the 49ers, they had some big time down years between, you know, when Garoppolo got hurt, they had a couple awful years.
They went like 6-10 in 2020. It wasn't pretty.
It wasn't. I think just about every team, unless, you know, you're Kansas City now or the New England Patriots in the past, or even the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm naming teams that have stability across the board. These are teams that keep themselves in winning mode every year.
But even the Steelers haven't been
great. Yeah, but they've always, you know, Mike Tomlin has always gotten them guys to play. And
never had a losing season.
Now, did every season end up in the playoffs? No. But they've always kept themselves where the next season they didn't have to retool their team to have a winning season. They added a few pieces, and then usually that next season ends up being better. But for the most part, I think the NFL is every team has like a three-four-year window, especially young teams, because they're working on the young contracts, these rookie contracts that they're working under. So that first year may not be good, but that second and third year may be a lot better. And then that fourth year, that third year, that fourth year is the year, if you have your quarterback, it's like, we need to win it. And then if you don't, it's almost like, because everybody contract now is expiring. So you got to find out who we going to sign back, mm-hmm. who we going to let hit the open market, how do we replace those guys. So now it's almost like you're not starting over, but you're sliding back some in hopes that, the people you add allows you to, you know, during the season, get back to where you were the next following season. The Titans are no different from those other teams, because if they had their quarterback, that elite quarterback, mm-hmm. just like Joe Burrow said, as long as I'm here, the window's open, you know.
So cocky.
But it's true.
It's true.
As long as he's there, as long as Patrick Mahomes is in Kansas City, mm-hmm. the window will always be open.
Yeah.
The Titans, because they have not found that guy at quarterback, their window is going to be 3 or 4 years, and then they got to sort of try to retool it without rebuilding. And I think that's what this offseason is. Retooling without rebuilding, because they don't have their franchise quarterback.
And, yeah, like when pointing out the 49ers and the Eagles, teams that have been in the Super Bowl and then they kind of took a step back and then they're back, I think that the big reason for that is when they have to lose elements of their team, core parts of their team, they bring them back very quickly. And they're able to, you know, to be at the top of the league, and then maybe they take a step back whenever you have to part ways with parts of your team, and then they replace those pieces. The Titans haven't been able to get past that point of where they have been, mm-hmm. I think because they are not able to replace the pieces of the holes that they've created. You know, let's say you trade away Corey Davis. Well, you replace Corey Davis with Julio Jones. You trade away a second-round pick for him, and he's not able to recreate the production that Corey Davis had. It's the same thing on the offensive line. Well, you know, you trade away Roger Saffold, which mm-hmm. wasn't a move that I was against. Roger Saffold was only was injured all the time and was only getting injured, or only getting older, rather. And you don't replace Roger Saffold. You know, you don't bring in pieces on the offensive line to replace them. And then, you know, you miss on some draft picks. You miss on some trades and some free agent acquisitions. Well, it doesn't take too long for those to catch up to you. And then now you're only behind when other teams are retooling.
And yet, to be fair, mm-hmm. if they didn't have the injuries that they had, I still think they would have won the division.
Oh, 100%.
And so it's not like they slipped down to this, you know, way, way down. I think you're looking for reasons why it didn't all come together and you get that run mm-hmm. to the Super Bowl. Like, I think the 49ers and the Eagles are good examples to throw out there, and it's interesting to track them because not every year was great, but they were able to make that run, right? They had more success in the playoffs without the elite quarterback, mm-hmm. right? And that's how the Titans have had to try to win, and that's how they're going to have to try to win until they find a guy like that. And as we mentioned, there's only 6 or 8 teams in a given year that have that guy. So what do you do in the meantime to try to win when you don't have the great guy? Like, Hurts is a second-round pick that they've hit on, and now the thing is, how much is he worth? They were mm-hmm. kicking that around a lot on ESPN today. Is it $45 million? Does it start at $45 million? You know, how much do you invest in him, and how much will he work with them to say, well, you know, I kind of like having these pieces around me. Let's see who we can keep, because you guys, I think we're just talking about it at the end of last hour. They do have a lot of free agents to try to keep that nucleus together.
Right. And which isn't easy to do, but, you know, some teams make it look easy when you can constantly be in the conversation when you have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, one of the best coaches,
right.
one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
The Titans aren't going to be you can't do it that way.
Unless you can find your Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Which is the dream of every team.
It could be easier said than done. If everybody could find their Patrick Mahomes, then Patrick Mahomes wouldn't be Patrick Mahomes.
Be a pretty tough league if everybody had Patrick Mahomes.
If everybody had Patrick Mahomes, then it would be tough to win.
Sundays would be really,
be easy to win,
really
but
it'd be a high-scoring game every week, you know, one or the other. But, I mean, the Titans, and I hear what you two are saying and about their injuries. But I think it's more than just their injuries to me. It's losing guys to free agency that they didn't even think about trying to bring back. You know, guys that they brought in for a high dollar, they're not playing nowhere near, or they didn't play nowhere near the money that you signed them to. And then – you know, the depth because of you, because you allow those other people that you drafted, that you, that grew up in your system, because you allow them then to go somewhere else, the guys that you brought in were nowhere close to the players that they were, and then they get injured, and then the people behind them aren't good either. Mm-hmm. So now you go from, you know, your starters not being as good as the guys you allowed to leave. They get hurt. Now you go to your second string, and these are guys that shouldn't be touching the field.
Yeah.
So the Titans have put themselves, they are at fault in this. Nobody else. The Titans are at fault because had they did the things necessary to keep this team together 3-4 years ago, they wouldn't be in the situation that they're in now. And maybe, just maybe, that's why there was a change in GM, because she probably looked at it as, or everybody probably looked at it as, like, man, if we would have even tried to sign some of these players back, we wouldn't be in the position that we're in now.
And looking at one of them in particular, Jack Conklin.
Yeah.
So, like,
had we signed Jack Conklin
position
back, I mean, we would have our right tackle.
And I understand why they didn't, but, you know? But, yeah, it's
– but you – but I –
when you don't make an effort to bring – to keep talent that you have in the building, and then you struggle to draft talent into your team, it's a recipe for disaster. And I don't want to act like this team was disastrous.
We say, well, we know why they didn't sign Jack Conklin back, because he was injured sometimes and he was going to want high dollar. Well, hell, the people you brought in was injured.
And you're giving
and you
them,
gave
high
them high dollar. And it didn't work out. So it just doesn't make sense to me, at least.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into what I wanted to touch on here, and that is how the Jets quarterback search could affect the Titans. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And, hey, Preds fans, hang out tonight before the Preds game at the Superbook Lounge and Landshark Bar and Grill Margaritaville on Broadway with 1025-1063 The Game. Place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials. Plus, enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
Woody Johnson would love to trade for Aaron Rodgers, would absolutely be all in if he was to come back from this, you know, darkness retreat and say, hey, look, I'm ready to go. And, you know, the Jets are a place that's attractive to me. I think once you get past him, if he comes off the table, then it's Jimmy Garoppolo. Again, there's ties there. There's familiarity. He's someone that Saleh thinks very highly of. But I actually think that Tannehill is probably third. If you look at what they'd be looking for, the bridge quarterback situation they would want to create, and they're not out on Zach Wilson. People need to understand that the general manager there, Joe Douglas, wants to be able to give Zach Wilson another opportunity to potentially take that quarterback job back.
There you go. That was Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. He says Aaron Rodgers would be the Jets' number one option. We'll get in line, New York. Everybody wants Aaron Rodgers. That's a whole lot of teams' first option. Jimmy Garoppolo, likely option number two. Tannehill's their third option? Since when is Tannehill on the market?
Yeah.
Since when is Tannehill an option? Are the Titans parting ways with Tannehill? Are the Titans trading Ryan Tannehill?
Not that I know of.
That's I don't understand it for a few reasons. One, I get the Jets potentially being interested in Ryan Tannehill. If they just want a bridge quarterback, either one, to get them to their next quarterback, or two, hopefully suck all they possibly can out of Zach Wilson, and maybe it takes a veteran quarterback to be able to do it, and they view Ryan Tannehill as that guy. Maybe he's got a few years left in him. He's a veteran quarterback. He can get us to enough wins to at least, you know, be relevant, maybe make the playoffs a few years. I understand the allure of Ryan Tannehill, but who's the Titans quarterback in 2023 if Ryan Tannehill goes to New York?
Yeah, that's the part that, you know, people are missing. Like, okay, if indeed this does happen, then who is the Titans quarterback? Because essentially what has to happen is, because free agency is before the draft, free agency before the draft. So what you're saying is we're going to trade our quarterback that we have in-house that we know that has been good for us. We're going to trade him away to the Jets for who? Wilson? their quarterback?
I think they want to hold on to Zach Wilson.
Yeah, well, we're trading him. Oh, just think, we're trading him to the Jets. They want to hold on to Zach Wilson. We're trading you to the Jets. What are we getting in return? Because it's free agency. Derek Carr might go to the Saints. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers may stay put in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Or Green Bay may choose not to do anything until June.
Yeah.
They don't have to do anything right now. So we're going to give away our quarterback and then get who in return? Jimmy Garoppolo?
No.
I don't want him. He's always hurt. Who? Are you hoping to get Lamar Jackson? Nah, that ain't going to happen. Baltimore is not going to trade him to the Titans. Geno Smith?
And also, you bring in Lamar Jackson, your offense is completely different.
Yeah, but I think – I'm not even worried about that part.
You're
not getting Lamar Jackson. You're not getting him. Geno Smith, it seems like he's going to re-sign in Seattle. So, you're
– Derek Carr?
Derek Carr.
No.
No, but no. You're throwing Ryan Tannehill's name out there as if – The Titans have their contingency plan in place. We're going to trade Tannehill, and this is our quarterback. Last I heard, there's no backup plan for if you do give away Ryan Tannehill or trade him. Joshua Dobbs?
They have to have a backup plan if they do decide to trade Ryan Tannehill.
But there's to me, there's
unless you're deciding to rebuild.
Exactly.
Unless you're deciding
there's
to start over. And break it down.
Exactly. There's not enough good quarterbacks on the market right now for me to trade away the quarterback that I have that's
exactly.
good.
So that puts the Titans in a really good position. If the Jets were just to be desperate and overpay in a trade offer, that's the only scenario I can see. And even so, it's like you said, Caroline, that means you're basically throwing in the towel for next year for the Titans or for the foreseeable until you find who the next quarterback is. So let's just look at the Jets' perspective mm-hmm. on this for a second. And first of all, I don't really know where they're coming from with they're not ready to move on from Zach Wilson. Well, then why are they're so gung-ho? Everybody that covers the Jets mm-hmm. is so good. If we get the quarterback, we can compete for the Super Bowl. Now, let's look at the Jets. The last time that they made the playoffs was what year? Anybody remember? Now, this is good perspective for the Titans fans, right? The guy that just called, he's frustrated. Why can't they... Let's talk about the Jets for a second.
2010, 2009, 8, one of them.
You're all over it. It was 2010. Uh-huh. Rex Ryan, back-to-back years, 09 and 10. That was the Sanchez, right? They had the really good defense mm-hmm. with Darrelle Revis. Mm-hmm. Good team, very close. Beat Tom Brady, I think, one year in the playoffs. Fell just short, never got to the Super Bowl, but they were good for a couple years. Mm-hmm. That was 13 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
They haven't made the playoffs in 13 years.
Yeah.
So they're excited just because they have a pulse, right? They were what, 6-2 on point? Brees Hall got hurt. Yeah, they were looking pretty good for a while, but they didn't have good quarterback play. Mm-hmm. So I don't know this. We want our cake and eat it, too. We're not giving up on Wilson. Wilson doesn't look good. Like, they want something else. They
right.
want all in.
He's not their guy.
So they're desperate to find another guy. But they're not in a great position. Now, they have the money because they have a very young team mm-hmm. and they have good assets. But they it's hard to find these quarterbacks because they don't have one right now. But so I can see why they would be knocking on everybody's door. What about your quarterback? What about Tannehill? We got to have another guy. Like, Rodgers. Okay, we don't get Rodgers. Like, I don't know if they're going to make a play for Carr or not. I don't really hear that. But they were talking about it on SportsCenter the other day. But they want the quarterback. They feel like if they have a good quarterback, they can win. And it's been a long time
since
they have won. Yeah, the rest of their team looks pretty good. That defense is very good.
Solid defense.
Offensive line is good.
You've got really good pass catchers. You've got Garrett Wilson. You've got Elijah Moore. I mean, it does look like a team that's a quarterback away from being competitive.
Yeah, and if I'm the Titans, I'm like, okay, you want my quarterback? Give me your first-round pick.
Yeah.
I would ask for your – if you want my quarterback that bad, after you didn't get Carr or Aaron Rodgers is still in this limbo thing where does he want to stay with the Green Bay Packers? Does he not want to stay? Does he want to retire? Okay, put that to the side. If Derek Carr has picked this team and these other quarterbacks already have their team, if I'm the Titans before the draft, I'm like, listen, you want my quarterback? Okay, give me your first-round pick.
Okay,
if you want him that bad, give me your first-round pick and you can have him.
I do think that would be interesting. If we get to the draft – and this carousel happens. Carr has signed, let's just say, with the Saints. Mm-hmm. Let's say Aaron Rodgers is out on the Jets.
Let's say Vegas.
Let's say it's Vegas. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Garoppolo, let's say he goes
Carolina.
Somewhere else. Carolina. Right. There's plenty of teams that mm-hmm. need a quarterback.
Right.
So the Jets are still looking around. Now, that would be the interesting scenario, is if they blew you away on draft day or leading up to the draft. Hey, look, we don't have a quarterback. Our fans are getting restless. This is New York, man. We have lost for a decade. We finally have a – we like our coach. We like a lot. We have no quarterback. If they blew you away, I think you're in a great leverage position mm-hmm. if you're Rand Carthon, aren't you? But it does have you kind of saying, all right, where are we? Can we win in the AFC with the Bills, the Bengals, the Chiefs, with what they've got, all these really good teams? It's a stacked AFC right now. Are you better off just taking a step back to take three steps forward if they offer you a boatload? That's the only scenario I can see. But you're in a great position if you're the Titans because you have a good quarterback.
If the Jets did do that, it would be so Jets, because I think that's such a not
yes.
smart move. It's because there are enough serviceable free agent quarterbacks on the market. Jimmy Garoppolo, Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, I don't know off the top of my head, but those yeah. kinds of quarterbacks that are probably
Mitch Trubisky.
And I think Ryan Tannehill is better than most of, if not all of those quarterbacks. But if I'm the Jets, I'm looking at it like, oh, you want a first round pick for a 35-year-old quarterback who is average. I'm not doing that. I'll pick up Jimmy Garoppolo or Geno Smith or Baker Mayfield, whoever it might be.
And then your fans are going to be like, what?
No,
I thought
you
said we were
going
to be good. You know, like, you know those New York fans. They'll be at the draft. They love coming
sure
to the draft. Remember when the draft used to be in New York every year? That was the most fun part of the draft, is the crazy Jets fans. They would boo the first pick every time.
Always.
What are they thinking?
I mean, Jets fans, I feel like they're just so conditioned to being disappointed that that's like their first instinct.
Yeah.
But also, even if the Jets do blow you away, who's your quarterback?
Wilson?
Garrett Wilson? Sorry.
No, the Jets.
Zach Wilson?
Zach Wilson. I mean, that's...
Are they going to trade you Zach Wilson? Do you want Zach Wilson?
No, I don't. But I'm saying, if you're the Jets and you're desperate, I don't see how you can sit there and say, we're going to go and get this quarterback and keep Zach Wilson. I would think Wilson would be the guy that you would dangle as part of that. Kind of like, who was it that dangled Sam Darnold, right? They traded Darnold, just like the Rams traded Goff to get Stafford. I think that's part of the move, don't you think? That would be intriguing.
I mean, I
have not been impressed in the least by Zach Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys? I mean, he
no.
looks like the makeup.
From what I've
the
seen,
makeup just
I hadn't
isn't there.
Much.
He's got a rocket of an arm, but he's had some awful, awful games with, like we were talking about, not a bad team around him.
No, he just looks clueless to me.
Well,
sometimes
maybe he
out
just
there.
Needs to be out of the New York market. Need to be in a smaller.
You
market.
Can make an argument with that,
where the expectations are not so big.
There's a lot
him.
Of Page Six stuff.
Yeah.
Up there. His mom is in the middle of it. You know, there's a lot of crazy stuff.
His mom's friend is in the middle of it as well.
Yes.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to get your thoughts. And another member on the quarterback carousel who also has been in congruence with the Titans. We'll get into that coming up next. It's Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025-1063 The Game.
You have to have that elite quarterback. But think about the teams that have gotten to the Super Bowl, some have won, some haven't, and who took their quarterback up high. And people look at, okay, Mahomes, Burrow. You know, you're looking at guys that you mentioned that are, you know, the guys that you move up for, guys that you take high, and they worked out. But for everyone that works out, a whole bunch of others don't work out that were taken just that high.
There you go. That was Trevor Maddich on the uncertainty of the draft. You want to find your quarterback of the future? That could be number one overall. It could be your Joe Burrow. It also could be your Baker Mayfield. You can never really truly guarantee what the drafted quarterbacks are going to turn out to be. There's another thought, another quarterback on the quarterback carousel that has been tied to the Titans. And so many times when the Titans come up in the quarterback carousel, I'm thinking, like, what? Like, Tannehill to the Jets. Like, why? Why Tannehill? Who said the Titans are moving on from Tannehill? Who's the Titans quarterback going to be? And it's the same thing with Derek Carr. Who said the Titans were interested in Derek Carr? And maybe they are. I just can't understand why. Because on ESPN.com, they listed out Derek Carr's potential landing spots. And it is every single quarterback needy team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. The Falcons, the Panthers, the Saints, the Jets. And the Titans were also on that list. And they read out the pros and cons of Derek Carr in Tennessee. But it's more so the perspective of Derek Carr. Why would the Tennessee Titans be an attractive place for Derek Carr? And they list, well, you can always hand it off to Derrick Henry. They've got a young, potentially budding star in Treylon Burks. That makes sense. Derrick Henry is an attractive piece, an attractive potential teammate, I think, for any quarterback out there. You got the best running back in the league that you can just hand the ball off to. Mm-hmm. But what it doesn't list is what would the pros of acquiring Derek Carr be for the Titans? I frankly don't see one other than Derek Carr is a couple years younger than Ryan Tannehill. Derek Carr will be 32. Ryan Tannehill will be 35. That's literally the only thing.
Yeah. And reading the article, it really broke it down. Like you said off air, Willie, it broke it down to things you don't even think about when it comes to Derek Carr. And, you know, because sometimes you can, if we like a player, it's like, okay, I can find stats that will lean more sort my side of the conversation, whether it's I'm for Derek Carr so I can find some stats over here, or if I'm against him, I can find some stats over here to, you know, solidify my stance on him not being a good quarterback. But in this article, it was like straight down the middle. He's a okay quarterback, mm-hmm. you know, but because he was drafted in the second round, I think – That makes it like, okay, when you're drafting in the first and second round, people look at you a little bit different rather than being drafted, you know, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. If he was a fifth round draft pick, people look at these numbers like, man, that's good for a fifth round draft pick. Mm-hmm. Those are good numbers. But because he was drafted within the first two rounds, and I think he may have been still a top five quarterback, or four or five quarterbacks was drafted ahead of him mm-hmm. in his draft, they look at it a little bit different now. They look at his numbers and say, well, those numbers aren't that good. If you look at the broad spectrum of it, they're not that good. If I just think about Derek Carr and the times that I've seen him play, I'm like, man, this is a really good quarterback. But then you look at these numbers and you're like, oh, wow, this changes my perception on him.
I sent you guys an article that Scott Kazmir
Yeah, and that's wrote. What I was referring to.
It's interesting.
He was with Football Outsiders for a long time. He now writes for something called, I follow him on Twitter, 365scores.com. But he broke down a lot of numbers. And his theory is basically, look, if you like Carr, it just all depends on what you need. Mm-hmm. But Derek Carr is basically one of those middle 10 quarterbacks. He's in the Andy Dalton, whatever you think the baseline.
Sam Darnold,
for example,
Andy Dalton.
He said Derek Carr is a great quarterback if you're content having the 14th best quarterback in the league. So ESPN has that QB rating, mm-hmm. QBR, so he's finished 14th 2 years in a row. So he's going to be 32. He's durable, uh-huh. which is kind of what you say about, you know, an Andy Dalton or Ryan Fitzpatrick, guys like this. Maybe
journeyman of the NFL.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, not necessarily even a journeyman, but just steady, mm-hmm. not going to move the needle hugely mm-hmm. for you, and he's certainly not bad. You can do a lot worse. He looks great compared to the Trubisky land.
Trubisky land.
Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. when you're in that mode.
He's
right?
a plain bagel.
Yeah. So, yeah. Again, you bring it back to the Titans. It just doesn't make any sense because Derek Carr is going to get paid. He's a free agent. There are several teams desperate for a quarterback. The going rate for a starting quarterback, even an average starting quarterback, he's going to get overpaid probably.
Yeah.
So why would you overpay for an average quarterback when you have a quarterback that you like who's under contract? It makes no sense. So there's just no chance. Derek Carr is not coming to the Titans. I've made that conclusion.
Yeah, I can't, you know, I can't see you know, the Titans making a move to bring Derek Carr here where they already have a guy that knows the offense, that's pretty good, that's durable, you know, for the most part. Now, this season was one of those seasons where he dealt with injury. But it was an injury that I don't think will be one of those chronic things, soft tissues and stuff like that. Somebody landed on his ankle, and there's nothing he could do about it. But he came back. a few games later, tried to gut it out, and we saw what happened. But why would you go away from a guy like that, that knows what you're doing? He knows the system. He's bought into the culture that you've established on his team. People look at him as one of the leaders. Why would you go away? And he's not a bad quarterback. Why would you go away from that to a guy now you got to pay him $40 plus million, and you may not even get what you had with Ryan Tannehill?
To me, the value of this discussion really is not, is Carr going to end up with the Titans? I think you're just wasting your time if you're talking about Carr to the Titans. I don't care what anybody else says. But I think it's an interesting study to figure out what is Carr worth, because he's the next guy that's going to get paid. And the Raiders basically said, $40 million, it's not worth that. We'll move on. We're going to do better.
And I would agree.
Yeah, and so, but that's sort of the going rate, and Carr definitely thinks that he can get more than that, right? And he might. And that's sort of the going rate for that middle-tier starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. So this is another stat that Kazmer puts out there. In games where the opposition scores under 20 points, the Raiders games that Carr started, Carr was 18-12. That's 60%. That's not bad, but that's well below average of the league. For example, Justin Herbert, you give him a situation where the opposition gets less than 20, he's 12-0. So that says a lot about Herbert and the issues that the Chargers have that go beyond him. And the league average is 82%. When the opposition scores less than 20, you need to win that game if you're a good quarterback. And that's oversimplifying. But it kind of shows you that Carr isn't the guy that moves the needle that much. He's more reliant about the players around him. And he had a great receiver in Davante Adams. You know how many times he threw the ball to Adams last year?
Not very many.
No, that's not true.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
180.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my gosh.
And he caught 100 passes. And so on the surface, you're like, oh, 100 passes, that 100 catches, that's a good year. But it took 180 attempts
to get him 100.
To get him 100. So that's not the most efficient thing. The other weakness of Carr that they break down here is red zone. He's not good. He hasn't done well in red zone efficiency, finishing drives with touchdowns. Think about the Titans game.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Think about
of.
The Titans game. Raiders win that game if they do a little bit better in the red zone.
And also in the defensive statistic. In this in age of the NFL, where it's so pass heavy, they put up so many points. Think about just how good your defense has to be to hold some of these opponents to 20 points or less. I mean, the Titans defense was able to hold Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs to 20 points. So I can lose games with a really good defense with Malik Willis. I don't need to pay Derek Carr $40 million to do what Malik Willis can do.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Here's another stat for Carr. What do you think his record is against playoff opponents in his career?
He's 0-1.
It's not good.
In his career, his whole career.
Oh, well, I think he meant in the playoffs. But No,
that's right. Not in the playoffs, but regular season games against teams that made the playoffs, his record. So there, I'll give you the number we're talking. He has played 56 games in his career against teams that made the playoffs.
It's not good.
I would say 28. And whatever that remainder is.
12-44.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's his record as a starter against playoff teams. Now, what I would love to see is how that compares to Tannehill, right? Because this is what you have to do as a GM, right, is say, okay, here's what we've researched shows about Carr. How does our guy compare? You know, and the Jets, when they're shopping around, they got to look at all this stuff too when they decide to go after it. But it's also like when you're shopping at the store and you're trying to replace – Jameis Winston, or like you're the Saints, and you're like, man, we had this issue at quarterback. We got to get – Derek Carr starts to look pretty good after a while when you look at the alternatives. But when you have Ryan Tannehill, I mean, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? You already have him. You don't even have to replace him.
And also, I mean, I don't know what Ryan Tannehill's stat is against teams who make the playoffs.
I'll bet you it's better than that.
Just considering the number of playoff games that Ryan Tannehill has even played in. Derek Carr has played in one single playoff game and lost that game.
8-9 years? Yeah, that's
yeah. And he orchestrated a team that got to the playoffs, and I think he got hurt right before the playoffs, right? So he didn't play the playoff game. I think the Raiders made the playoffs one other time,
Made the playoffs one other time. He was inactive in that game.
Yeah, he got hurt at the end of the year.
In his one playoff game, they lost that game. And I keep hearing, too, I was listening to Jason Michel. I don't know if it was today or yesterday or whenever it was. They were talking about Derek Carr. And I heard them say, well, I think that wherever Derek Carr goes, he's going to be better than what he was this past year. I have no reason to think that. I don't have that. I don't share that opinion. Because Derek Carr had Devontae Adams, who was a top five receiver in the National Football League. He had Josh Jacobs, who won the rushing title this season. And Darren Waller, who you could probably say is a top five tight end in the league.
He's a talent.
Maybe number three behind George Kittle and Travis Kelce. So you're telling me that you think Derek Carr is going to be better wherever he goes without those three?
I don't know.
I can't subscribe to that belief. So this whole Derek Carr to the Titans, it makes no sense.
It's not happening.
Just find your quarterback.
It's not happening.
Find your quarterback. Find your quarterback of the future, because since 2015, based upon the numbers, you got to find your quarterback in the first round. You have to. There's no.
And Jalen Hurts.
I know people. But I'm saying, like, yeah, okay. Jalen Hurts is
the exception.
Yeah, he was early in the second round. But typically, since 2015, and I know people, well, Tom Brady, yes, I understand. Well, Purdy, yes, I understand. He had a stint, but we didn't know we don't know if he can do this for the whole season. That is yet to be seen. But the history has told me, at least since 2015, if you don't draft that quarterback in the first round, you ain't getting him.
It's unlikely.
You're not.
Trevor Maddich had a good point there. He says you might have to you have to be willing to miss two or three times before you get the guy. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. We were just going through the Jets guys. They whiffed on, you know, they tried Darnold. They tried Mark Sanchez. They got Wilson now. It doesn't look like it's happened. So for everyone that you hit on or teams hit on, they're going to miss several times too. So you need to be a little lucky.
So, and that's a fair point, Derek. And that's what I want to get into coming up next. Because we hear a lot about first overall. Should the Titans trade up to the first overall pick? Should they inquire with the Bears about the first overall pick? Maybe it's not just about the first overall pick. Maybe history shows us something completely different. We'll get into that coming up next. It's Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
When you talk about an elite quarterback, there's very few of them. I mean, there's 32 starting NFL jobs, but there are not 32 starting NFL quarterbacks in the world that are ready to take those jobs right now. And so, you know, how you build the team, though, you know, is the question. You do need an elite quarterback in order to make multiple Super Bowl runs. You need that. The question is, do you need to get that elite quarterback in the top half of the first round, or can you get him in the back half of the first round, or not in the first round at all?
There you go. That was Trevor Maddich on Stillman and Company earlier this week. And Derek, you say, you know, you've got to find that quarterback in the first round. And there's been so much talk in the offseason of what the Titans do with the 11th overall pick. Because the Titans absolutely could use the 11th overall pick to pick a premier position of need. Offensive tackle, wide receiver. You can get a premier tackle or a premier receiver with that pick. Or do you take advantage of a high pick, the highest pick the Titans have had in a while, and, you know, leverage that into the first overall pick and get your quarterback of the future? But do you necessarily have to get your quarterback of the future with the first overall pick? Can you hold on at 11? Can you move up to maybe 6, 7, 8 and find that guy? Because looking at the starting quarterbacks in the league right now, so few of them were taken with the first overall pick. And one of them that was isn't a great quarterback in Jared Goff, and not elite. I mean, you could say he's fine.
Yeah, he actually had a pretty good year. He's sort of, I think, rebounded a little bit. I think people were really soured on him for a while. Obviously, the Rams didn't think he could get it done. Yeah.
He got to the Rams to the playoffs, but you could also argue it was the defense and it was the run game and not necessarily Jared Goff that got them there.
We got going on this yesterday with the stat. Only three quarterbacks in the history of the Super Bowl. There have been, 57 Super Bowls now, so that's 57 years. Three quarterbacks who were the first overall pick won a Super Bowl with the team that drafted them.
Which is astonishing.
Yeah, so it's Aikman, it's Peyton Manning, and why am I forgetting the third all of a sudden? We threw him out there yesterday.
Aikman, Manning, and Patrick Mahomes. Not first overall, just kidding.
well, we'll look it up again, but yeah, it'll come to us. But when we did the exercise of just going through the Super Bowl winners,
Aikman, I don't know. Keep going. I'm sorry.
It really wasn't any one thing that jumped out. You know, there were a lot of teams that traded for a quarterback.
Stafford.
There were a lot of teams that, you know, got the quarterback below the first round. I mean, Brady's not the only one, right? There's others that were drafted below the first round, mm-hmm, or lower part of the first round. So I don't know that there's one way that you have to do it. You know, I do think most of the starting quarterbacks in the league, in general, are probably first-round picks, right?
Well,
more often than not.
Patrick Mahomes was the 10th overall pick. Jalen Hurts was picked in the second round. Joe Burrow was first overall, but Josh Allen was 7th. Justin Herbert was 6th. Trevor Lawrence, first overall. Tua was 5th overall. Jared Goff was first overall. Dak Prescott was taken in the 4th round. Tom Brady was taken in the 6th round. That's the anomaly. That's the exception, not the rule. Lamar Jackson was taken 32nd in the bottom half of the first round. Justin Fields was taken 11th. Aaron Rodgers was taken 24th.
Yeah.
So if you just look at that.
Terry Bradshaw, by the way,
Terry
is the other
Bradshaw
guy.
Terry Bradshaw, yes.
Brain cramping on that.
There's only been since 2000, and if I'm wrong, correct me on this, anybody. Since 2000, there's only been two quarterbacks that have taken their team to the Super Bowl outside the first two rounds.
And it was outside
the first round. Nick Foles, and Tom Brady. Those are the only two quarterbacks. And Nick Foles left his team.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, Russell Wilson. That's three. Russell Wilson.
Is that take to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, I just said
win the
Super Bowl. Nick Foles won. Russell Wilson won, and Tom Brady won. So that's three.
Jalen Hurts got his team to the Super Bowl.
Second round pick.
So getting your team to the Super Bowl, that opens up some other guys. Like Jake DeLome is another guy that comes
to mind.
Jake
DeLome.
Did he get drafted
by Carolina?
I don't even remember. How did they get Jake DeLome?
I don't think he was a high first round pick.
But the point being, the first round guys emerge, like Mahomes, like Josh Allen, like Lamar Jackson, like Justin Fields, and you know, jury's still out on Justin Fields, but you know, Chicago believes in him. That you get your guy in the first round, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the first overall pick.
Nah.
If the Titans want to stay at 11, their guy could be there. I know that Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, those are the fancy names. Those are the draft guru quarterbacks that they think that those are going to be the guys of the future. But nobody thought that Patrick Mahomes, other than the Chiefs, nobody thought that Patrick Mahomes was going to be the best quarterback in the league. Nobody thought Lamar Jackson was going to be, you know, one of the top half the quarterbacks in the league. So the Titans guy could be there at 11. Maybe not. Every draft is different.
He got drafted by New Orleans. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Jake DeLome got drafted by New Orleans in 99. So,
and that was not a high
pick,
right?
So he wasn't even drafted by the team that he took to the Super Bowl. So the notion of, well, you can find your quarterback outside the first two rounds. No, you can't. You just can't.
But it doesn't have to be the first overall pick.
It doesn't have to be the first overall pick. But you got to find your quarterback. If you want to have the ability to go to the Super Bowl, or that quarterback to take you to the Super Bowl, the league has told us since 2020 that more than likely it has to be within the first two rounds. And even more than that, it has to be a first-round quarterback. Not necessarily, like you said, it doesn't have to be the number one guy, mm-hmm, but he has to be drafted in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, history would say the number one overall guy more than likely won't be the guy.
Uh-huh.
I mean, in the last 20 years, only two first overall picks, quarterbacks, won Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And that was Eli Manning, and who was the other one? One of them is Eli Manning.
Well, Eli really wasn't the first overall, was he?
He was first overall, but got traded to the Giants, who picked second, who took Phillip Rivers.
So he really wasn't, because the Giants, they traded him. The Giants had second pick.
Elway was first overall, but was drafted by the Colts and then traded to the Broncos.
Yeah.
Refused to play for the Colts. Remember that whole thing? Yeah. He just said, I'm not playing for you.
I understand.
They were pretty bad at that time.
So that's
what Eli did, right? He said, I'm not playing for the Chargers.
Because unfortunately, Archie Manning went through that exact same thing. He got drafted by a horrible team, and now his career in the NFL, you know, you don't look at Archie Manning and think, wow, wonderful NFL quarterback. So the point being, if the Titans stay at 11, that doesn't mean that the franchise quarterback won't be there. Doesn't mean that it will, but it doesn't mean that he won't.
If you have a guy at that position and you rank him, if you're the Titans, then you can't move up and you're right at number 11 and you have a quarterback that you feel is a first-round talent and he's there on the board, then do you take him?
Yes.
You know, it's like, okay, do we not – do we take him? Do we not take him? Do we take offensive linemen instead?
If you find that guy, like the Chiefs did with Patrick Mahomes,
him,
they traded
there.
Up.
Scouting.
Yeah,
you
he's there. You
got to
take him.
You got to find your guy.
Yeah. I always said Titans, get your quarterback.
Got to find your guy, and you got to develop your guy.
Number one.
Browns thought they found their guy in Baker Mayfield. They totally mismanaged Baker Mayfield.
That's the thing. There's way more that miss than hit in the first round.
And the reasons could vary. Development, or maybe it wasn't good scouting. DeMarcus Russell obviously didn't pan out too well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Predators have a really tough test tonight against one of the best teams in the league, if not the best team in the league, in the Boston Bruins. Elliot Friedman will join us coming up next to discuss. It's Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 106.3 The Game.